Yes, sir. Before we get started, what is your name, sir?
My name is DeShante Adelakino.
Okay. Who is Mr.?
I am.
Okay. The Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse will conduct your hearing, sir.
Okay. So I get my papers. All right. Mr. Adelakino, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Adelakino?
Actually, I had a change. My name is Adelakino, but they abbreviated it, and this is what DOC has. So the per DOC, I've been going by Adelakino.
Adelakino, okay. I just wanted to pronounce your name correctly before we start.
You got it, man.
Okay, thank you. From the very beginning of the hearing, could you please state your name and ABC number just for the record?
Yes, ma'am. My name is DeShante Adelakino. My number is 15-14-06.
Right, thank you. And good afternoon. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing, and this concerns the one allegation on your warrant of arrest. And you should have been given a form notifying you about this hearing. I see that you signed your form on October 26th, is that correct?
Only around about, yes, ma'am.
Okay, you remember getting the form though?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And on that form, you had, there was a list of your hearing rights, and one of the rights is that you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you. Did you hire an attorney, or are you representing yourself today?
I was able to hire an attorney. I'm representing myself today.
Okay, and that's fine. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board. You can see on the video, if you look down at the opposite end of the bench from me, all the way at the end is the Honorable David Neal. Next to him is the Honorable Michael Johnson. Right in the center is our board chair, the Honorable Dr. C.T. White. Right next to me here is the Honorable Louis Quinones, and my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be the panel chair for your hearing today. We also have with us in the room Mr. Osborne, who is representing the department. You can see Mr. Osborne right now. He's representing the Department of Corrections and your parole officer today.
Okay.
Okay. So before we get started, I need to swear both you and Mr. Osborne in. So Mr. Adelakino and Mr. Osborne, do you swear, solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes.
I do, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. This hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one, to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, and phase two, to determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So, Mr. Adelakino, I'm going to read from your warrant, and as I read the allegation to you, I need you to tell me one of three responses. Either the allegation is true, the allegation is false, or you may choose to take the fifth and remain silent, because it appears there are pending charges relating to this allegation. So you understand your three choices?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good. So here is the allegation. And it is that you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a criminal ways or company by violating condition of supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your possession of illegal drugs on September 15th, 2017 in Pima County, Arizona. So Mr. Adelakino, is that true, false, or do you choose to remain silent?
I'm going to choose to remain silent.
Okay, that's fine, thank you. All right, just to move to the next phase of the hearing then, I'm going to make a motion based on... I'm sorry.
He still has to read the...
Oh, he's still three. Okay, I'm sorry. Mr. Osborne, could you please read us the thank you? Thank you for correcting me.
Yes, ma'am. Easy to do. Allegation number one. On September 15th of 2017, Officer Garcia, badge number 52821, Tucson Police Department, was working with the community response team and was sitting in an unmarked City of Tucson patrol car. As he was sitting stationary and vehicle turned off in front of 230 West Relito, a white four-door sedan backed out of the property 217 West Relito and struck into Officer Garcia's unmarked car. The white sedan, after wrecking Officer Garcia's vehicle, drove off westbound. Officer Garcia followed the vehicle and advised other officers about the situation. When the white sedan got to Grant, made an eastbound turn and conducted a U-turn where a uniformed officer, Soltero, VR number 49278, was able to conduct a traffic stop. The driver of the vehicle was identified as offender Deshante Abdu-Wakil. The front seat passenger was identified as Denisha Powell. Officer Sotelo noticed the odor of alcohol coming from Deshante. He also observed an open container of peach-arita alcoholic beverage. Officer searched the offender and he was able to retrieve a crack rock from the offender's pocket. Officer also retrieved a piece of church paper with another piece of crack inside it. The crack cocaine and on Deshante was field tested and tested positive. The offender was arrested and taken to the Peoria County Jail. He was charged with possession of narcotic drug, a felony.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. So now, based on the information in warrant number 2017W3276 and testimony from the Department of Corrections, I move to find Mr. Al-Wakil delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into the criminal laser company.
Second.
Agreed.
Thank you. Hold on just one second, Mr. Al-Wakil. I have to...
Was that you that seconded?
Yes. Okay.
So now, Mr. Al-Wakil, we can move into phase two of your hearing. And in phase two, we will start by getting some background information from Mr. Osborne. So just hang on the line for a minute there, and we'll be right back with you. Mr. Osborne.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Senator Al-Wakil was released from DOC custody on November 30th of 2016. He was arrested on September 15th of 2017 by the Tucson Police Department for a felony charge of narcotic drug possession, drug paraphernalia, and misdemeanor charge of consuming liquor in a vehicle. He was returned back to our custody on September 22nd of 2017 with 0 abscond days, with a community supervision end date of July 1st of 2019. Current conviction, 2000, narcotic drug violation, 4 years, 6 months. Prior conviction, 1999, murder second degree, 18 years. 1999, aggravated assault, 10 years. 1999, narcotic drug violation, 5 years. And 1999, drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year. So he's had one term with DOC, had the CUIR score of 2-3, a mental health score of 1, and a substance abuse score of 2. There's no SCG or gang information noted. He has a moderate disciplinary history with extortion, fighting, and threats of harm noted. Other arrests, 1987, simple assault and battery, California juvenile detention. And 1997, drug paraphernalia violation, California unknown. He has a community risk score of G3B4. And I did receive an email today from Senior Blocker Stephanie Erickson. It said results of the charges are unknown at this time.
Okay, thank you. All right, back to you, Mr. Al-Wakil. It looks like you were originally released homeless, but then you were able to propose a residence at 6880 Wade Road in Tucson. Who lived there?
That was set up before I got out. That was a bond closing and Ron Croce were hired to go out and learn to train horses while at Florence East Unit. And he was a member of the saddle club, and he knew somebody, and he offered me a job. Well, he offered me a job with other intentions in mind. So when we got together and we discussed it, we decided it was best that I didn't stay there. So he called up the my parole officer Duffy. Duffy called me, and I went back to and stayed at Sacramento for a while until I got proper placement.
Okay, and then you, it looks like in June 1st of 17, you were approved to live at Primavera Housing at 2191 South Winstall Avenue, Tucson. Is that correct?
Yes. There's a few things that happened before that. I went out to Marana and worked out in Marana on a ranch for a little while, once again, trying to follow up on what I had learned, and was doing good, but the lady didn't know she wanted to work me full-time and pay me part-time, so I felt it'd be bad, so I called my parole officer again and let him know the situation. He understood, so I came back, went back to Sacramento. Then I realized that I was just going to have to get a regular job, and I was able to get a regular job at Enterprise Rent Car. And once I got that job, I was able to save my money, and yes, I was able to move into a Primavera housing.
Okay, oh good. So you were working. It sounds like you have, the, in addition to the animal, you know, horse care skills, which is always a good thing to have in Arizona. Yeah, you got a good job at Enterprise Leasing, it looks like. That's a good thing.
And I still have my job, depending on how this goes.
Oh, okay. At Enterprise, you still have your job.
Yes, my boss, Lance Carey, really helped me out a lot. So I was able to be in contact, well, my aunt was able to be in contact with him, and he assured me that if this pans out, and I will have employment when I come home.
Okay. All right, it looks like, just reading some notes here about your programming, it looks like you had admitted to using crack cocaine 4 times. In June, it looks like.
What had happened was, I got out and I done well, very well, and it was kind of shocking. After doing 18 years, DOC, prepared me pretty good as far as me working on my anger issues, me working on my self-esteem issues. I took every class offered. I got my GED. And I basically prepared myself to get out because I never wanted to return. And I feel so bad to be sitting in this situation. But once I got out and I did everything I was supposed to do, and once I got a hold of the freedom per se, I wrote myself off of colors. I didn't ask to be taken off, but my parole officer, bless her heart, Ms. Mia Kearney, she made the decision that she would take me off of colors, and then I would have to report instead of everyone that I would have to report once every 3 months. Or we'll report, call everyone, but report actually show up once a month. And I felt elated, and I felt good, and I felt that I had achieved. But at the same time, there were aspects that I didn't consider that showed up, and basically the temptation got to me, and I relapsed. So once I relapsed, and I saw myself going down that dark path again, I called her up. I even called my boss, and I let him know what was going on with me. So Miss Kearney had me come down, and I went down, and she decided to place me in a program. So the programs were costly. So my insurance hadn't kicked in yet, so I couldn't pay for it that way. So they said, well, we're going to pass you over to Mrs. Zimbruski. We're going to put you back on colors. And I agreed with that totally, because I felt in my heart that it was all I needed was just checks and balances again. If I could just backtrack and get back to where I was, I would be okay. And it just wasn't the case. Once I had started, the temptation was just too great. And this was the first time in my life, at least being on the street, that I actually farted. And it's all my fault. Because I kind of got a little arrogant. Because I did 18 years in prison, I never touched a drug. I never touched any alcohol. So I kind of believed I was fine and I would be okay if I continued to do the same things that I was doing while I was locked up. Well, there were some additional steps that I needed to take. And since being back, I had some suggestions. As soon as I got back, I take those suggestions. And I'm fixing the problems that I had, so this will never happen again. I feel so ashamed.
All right, well, thank you, sir. And it is very commendable that you were able to remain drug-free for so long, especially after doing such a long time in prison. So you were right to feel glad about that, feel proud that you've done that. It sounds like you've figured out in your head what you may not do.
I worked my behind off. Yeah. I worked hard. It wasn't easy. And I understand that it's not going to be easy. But I showed the willingness to put in the work, whatever the case may be. You know, I had to learn when I came home how to use a phone.
Right.
It wasn't no more where you could just go in and just fill out an application, you know, and just get a job. I mean, I had to learn how to use a phone. And I was able to learn these things because I got my GED, because I went through the anger management classes, because, you know, I was confident in my abilities. Once I used that first time, it was just like, I didn't have no control after that.
Yeah, understood. It's a tough, very tough addiction. So without discussing the details, where were you when Tucson Police Department picked you up?
When I backed out of the driveway and they picked me up, I was on my way back to work. And I had my friend with me, and I was right there off of, on the north side, going towards where I actually bought my car from, drive time.
Okay.
So I guess I would have been going towards east, going towards First Street.
So you were on your way to work at that time then?
Right, I was on my way back to work.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna see if my fellow board members have any questions. Questions? All right, well, Mr. Al-Wakil, we're coming toward the end of your hearing. And I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement, if you'd like, for the board. But, you know, if you could just do that without repeating things you've already told us, we'd appreciate it. So what would you like the board to know?
I would like the board to know that thank you for the opportunity. I know I'm not guaranteed anything. I know where I messed up. I've corrected where I messed up and going to continue to correct it. I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I have two certificates here from Alcoholics Anonymous from my participation, even just in these last 2 months that I've been locked up. I know I can do time. I've been back here, you know, just a little over 2 months. I have the best job on the yard. I'm working at Love Marketing. I'm making $3 an hour. I'm doing well at my job. So that proves to me that the work that I put in previously was not a fake. I'm planning on getting out, you know, when I get out, if I get out sooner or get out later. Either if I can't go back to my regular job, I have the Jacksonville Employment Center that I can go to. As far as a place to stay, I would like to go back and stay at SEC where I can, you know, just have further education, maybe take a class that Mr. Marucci placed me in, trying to get to that class, because I was placed in that class on July 11th, but they didn't have a spot for me, and before the spot came open, I was arrested. So if I have to complete that, I would like to complete that, and I just want to fulfill my role and just, you know, there's a lot of people, not just me, that took time and have a sort of a stop in me that I do that. I'm not that putting down again if you give me an opportunity. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Awakio. The board is going to go into discussion and make a decision about your supervision. We operate under the open meeting law, so all of the board's discussion occurs in public right here, right now. We have not discussed your case before. So it may sound like we're talking to you or someone else in the room here, but it's just the board talking among itself. So if you just hang on the line there and certainly listen in, and we'll be back with you shortly, okay?
Okay.
All right, sure. The board's now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is an interesting case, and I hear a lot of sincerity in Mr. Awakio's voice. He's done many of the right things, including getting his GED. He's going to AA. He's addressing his addiction issues. He has a job. You know, he has some good skills, and he has a job waiting. It is truly impressive that someone could do 18 years in prison and come out and then stay on straight and narrow for 6 months or thereabouts. But in the end, the cocaine kind of got him again, and that's very sad that the drugs once again have taken the priority in someone's life. There's potential that there may be new charges. We don't know the status of those, so I suppose or I suspect that the best thing for Mr. Awakio would be to stay where he is, and even though it may not be the thing that he wants necessarily, but the best thing for him to stay where he is, get some treatment programs, continue in AA, see if there's something else that he can get involved in there. But I'd also like to hear any input from my fellow board members.
I agree.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to make a motion then, based on points in warrant 2017W3276, information provided by Mr. Osborne from the Department of Corrections. I'm going to make a motion to revoke community supervision as Mr. Awakio was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, and specifically due to the circumstances around his arrest. And that's my motion.
Second.
Agree.
So, Mr. Awakio, you heard the discussion, and the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. For you, I mean, I hear the sincerity in your voice. I know that you're done with it, with drugs. But take this time that you have left to make sure of that. Make sure of it. Get some treatment. Get your head straightened out, you know, about that. And we do know you can be successful, because you have been. It sounds like you've been very, very successful. So we wish you the very, very best. Thank you for your...
Go ahead.
What's your point?
So basically, I'll just pretty much just finish out the rest of my time. So I'll have 20 months left?
Finish, it looks like July 1st of 19. Yeah.
Of 19,
yes. And use that time, and we wish you the very best. Thank you so much for your active participation. We always appreciate that.
All right.
All right, thank you. Your hearing's concluded. Thank you.
Bye.